This is a podcast that you want to come to, where we're supporting all women who are going through different things or have gone through different things and want to stop by and encourage and say something that will uplift and inspire another female. So, thank you for stopping by, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you was able to join.
Yeah, me too.
So first off, let me start off with your name.
Yeah, this is Sama. Sama Morningstar.
All right. Hold on 1 second. I gotta mute my other mic. I'm sorry. All right, and tell me where you're from.
I'm in Northern California.
Okay. How's everything going?
Well, it's been a bit rough lately with all of the wildfires, and you know, a bunch of different things have happened with the wildfires. That are creating housing insecurity around here, but we're working it out. Housing and employment, and I think we're not alone in that. You know, a lot of people, if their homes didn't burn, their place of employment might have burned. So this is the fifth year in a row that we've been evacuated, and that our places of employment have been evacuated in my family. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty pretty intense to go through that every year. So,
how are you dealing with that mentally?
It's been pretty stressful, and I feel like my husband and I are a really good team, and so you know, we've gathered our resources and our support, and you know, I'm using the experience for my further spiritual development and healing process, but that takes a lot of energy. So I can, there's up days and down days, I'll say that.
Yeah. I understand that. So yeah. I want to say thank you for joining on this podcast today. And this is basically a platform to give you the opportunity to talk about something that you have been through, how you overcame that, and how you're doing now after, you know, going through something that, you know, might not have been, might not have been so easy to get through, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And if you have any businesses or any books that you wrote or anything, please feel free to share that information. If you have an Instagram that you would like people to follow you at, you mm-hmm. can share that information as well.
Okay. Yeah, so I think that the whole experience with the wildfires is one of the most recent challenges that is an ongoing overcoming, if you will, that has really influenced my life in difficult yet ultimately evolutionary ways. It's really taught me to pay more and more attention to the effects of trauma on our lives. Mm-hmm. And as I'm a holistic health practitioner, my focus is womb wellness. So the wellness of the womb, the menstrual cycle, the reproductive health, sexuality, our experiences in the womb, in our mother's womb, and our experiences being born. All of these times, unfortunately, all of these experiences in our lives are often fraught with trauma, because we have evolved into being in such a place as a species and as a society that we're not tending to the womb in a way that honors and reveres it for what it is, which is the source of where life comes from. And we're not honoring and caring for it in a way that makes for healthy, happy womb bearers and womb experiences. And so many of us are suffering from traumas like I did when I was, you know, conceived. My mom had no idea about her fertility, and we've been suppressing information about sexuality and fertility and not sharing it adequately with our youth in a timely manner for many generations. So I've heard this story many times, that when, you know, the same as my mom, when she started bleeding for the first time at the age of 10, she thought she was going to die.
Wow.
And that is terribly traumatizing for a 10-year-old.
It really is.
And there can be any number of variations on that story. Maybe, you know, their young girls are taught that from a clinical biological perspective, without any attention to the emotional and spiritual aspects of menstruation and the responsibility of fertility. And there's certainly no emphasis placed on the responsibility of fertility for young boys.
Right.
And so that whole transition into being a fertile adult is terribly traumatizing when this is neglected for our young people. And this is the source of a lot of the things that then young teenagers end up doing, you know, high risk behavior and getting into drug addiction and all this. This is one of the sources of that. But that it goes back farther than that, because, you know, so then that my mom not knowing that she was, what was going on, and thinking she was going to die and being traumatized by her first menstruation. And then that translating into her not knowing anything about her fertility, even if she did get told eventually that it was okay, she's not dying. Her fertility wasn't explained to her. And then when she naturally started, you know, fooling around with boys at the age of 17, she finally became pregnant. And there was all this shame around that. And so my first moments as a growing fetus were all about hiding me. She was hiding me and my existence from her parents for fear that they would take her to Mexico for an illegal abortion.
Wow.
So that is a heavy duty imprint, that it's not okay for me to even be alive.
Wow.
And I was in, you know, a fairly, you know, middle class, well-to-do family that many would consider to be an ideal family. And this is what's going on. And then on top of that, if you have people that are in, you know, other kinds of demographics, then they've got all this other trauma on top of that same thing that is being experienced by that developing fetus. And all of us have that kind of embedded trauma in our DNA, not to mention the trauma that we inherited from our mothers, our grandmothers, our fathers, our grandfathers, that was unresolved.
I agree.
And so living through this time of the culmination of our lack of wisdom around how to be in harmony with our ecology and having these fires happening is making me, it's heightening my awareness year after year of the effect of trauma, A, and B, the effect of long-term unresolved trauma. and how that diminishes. So I got to see in my community when the first fire came and destroyed our community 5 years ago, I got to see people who had been focused on some kind of practice or their self-care therapeutic practice that addresses trauma. Those people were able to cope with the trauma of the current situation of having the community destroyed by wildfire much more easily than those who didn't have some kind of trauma-informed self-care therapeutic practice already in their lives. And I got to see that in the community so clearly and make sure that I was upgrading and enhancing and getting the support that I needed for my trauma recovery practice and letting this experience deepen that practice instead of just pile more on top of it that's unresolved.
Right.
So that's become the focus of my work, is helping people to recognize the origins of what makes it difficult for folks to cope with what's going on in our world today, which is very traumatizing. But if we don't have some kind of practice in place, or if we're not developing some kind of healing practice, then it's just another trauma piled on top of an already traumatized life. And so many people are completely unaware that that's what the source of some of their, you know, challenges are, and why they feel so incapacitated, and why they're struggling with mental illness or health problems or things like that. Because we're only just starting to realize as a society and as a species, and professionals in these fields are only just starting to begin to understand how trauma works and how we need to recover from that in order to be healthy, functioning beings. And we're waking up to the fact that the very structure of our society is based on certain people having the right to traumatize and dominate other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's traumatizing for everyone, even the dominators.
Yeah, I agree.
And that we're all suffering from this collective model of relationship that's based on coercing and traumatizing each other over and over and over again, and just repeating these cycles of trauma. And so my work is about bringing healing to the source of that trauma, which is, how do we relate to the womb? How do we relate to life, the basic building blocks of life? How do we relate to the feminine? How do we relate to the earth and to nature? How do we relate to ourselves? Are we relating in a domination way? Like, I hear so many people talking about they want to control their body, mind over matter, mind over body, and make their body do what they want it to do, instead of...
Do you think that's possible?
I think it's definitely possible. I don't think it's healthy or beneficial, because that's just another domination model, and it disregards the intrinsic wisdom of the body. People talk that way about their emotions as well. And that just disregards that, that automatically assumes that the body is the enemy, or the emotions are the enemy, and don't have any intrinsic wisdom. So you're disregarding and eliminating that intrinsic wisdom from your life by saying that your logical thinking mind knows better. And that's the source of all of our suffering, I feel. Because the truth is, nature has an exquisite, elegant intelligence and beauty to it. And our body has that same exquisite intelligence. And it has natural systems built in that are maps for our emotional and spiritual well-being, as well as our physiological well-being. So my work, I call biomystical womb healing. So looking at our biology, instead of something we need to overcome or dominate, as a source of wisdom and a guide for our growth and development and evolution. Mm. And the womb biology as a map for how to return to systems and structures in our lives that actually generate new life and give us energy and replenish our energy resources instead of diminishing and depleting our resources, which is what the domination model does. So if we look at, for an example of that, the relationship that our modern society has with the planet Earth as simply a resource to be exploited, you know, mining for substances, you know, getting the maximum yield of crops as possible, using chemicals to enhance the yield of the crops, and genetically modifying things to make better yields and, you know, exempt it from the natural processes of the ecosystem of those plants that are animals that might be, you know, sort of extracted from an ecological system into an artificially produced environment. It just the when you try to extract from that natural ecosystem, the ways that life regenerates and replenishes itself are thwarted and diminished, and so it becomes more and more depleted. And I tell my students all the time, I use a lot of herbs to replenish the body, mm-hmm. and to give the body the nutrients that it needs. And we need to be, receiving that new nourishment from herbs more and more, because our agricultural practices have depleted the nutrients in the soils so much that if you took even the highest quality fresh fruits and vegetables and animal products that we have available right now and compared the nutrient content, mm-hmm. with what was available 50 years ago, there's just a huge drop and depletion of nutrient content in our foods, even the highest quality fresh foods. And then most people today are on top of that, they're eating, you know, processed foods that where the nutrients have even been stripped even more. So like, you know, stripping the, you know, bleaching the flour, for example, and stripping the bran from the wheat, for example. Most of the nutrient contents is in the bran of the wheat. And so you're stripping the nutrients away even more to just get that that high carb, high gluten quality that people prefer. And the same with sugar, you know, stripping down the sugar and processing these foods down extracting the sweetest and the highest carb, or extracting, you know, the things that we want instead of eating the whole foods, you know. And so that whole process of extraction out of the natural cycles of life is depleting us, and it's creating this, you know, it's this low grade, but in some places, like here where there's wildfires, it can be high grade given the time of year and what's if there's a fire going on nearby. But it's this constant sense of we're not going to get what we need, a constant starvation, of constant depletion, because our systems do not regenerate life and don't replenish life. And they're designed for the luxurious wealth of a very, very few people at the expense of everyone and everything else on the planet. So we're all feeling that. We're all feeling ourselves and the earth being stripped of life. And why I'm focusing on womb wellness is because the womb is the source of new life and has systems built in to replenish life. It's what it's made to do. And when we, and it requires us to be aligned with life regeneration in order to have a healthy womb. So all these symptoms that a lot of womb bearers have of painful, difficult menstrual cycles, inability to conceive, you know, infertility issues or struggles with childbirth itself, or, you know, struggles with menopause or perimenopause, all of these kinds of symptoms and major hormonal imbalances and all of that, the womb is crying out and saying our lifestyle does not support life. The systems and structures that we're living in do not support life and the regeneration of life. And therefore, the womb is crying out. Now, somebody who's trying to dominate their body and make it do what they want it to do, which is what a lot of doctors are doing. They offer, oh, here, let's just cut it out. Let's cut your womb out. It's causing you. It's the problem. The womb is the problem. But the womb is just the messenger. That's saying the foods you're eating don't work. The way that you're living your life isn't working. These systems have to change in order to be healthy. And that's what I offer is in my work is, okay, what systems in your life need to change? What systems in the world need to change? How can we replenish ourselves enough to be able to actively participate in changing these systems in the world? So social activism is a big part of my work as well, because until we get out from underneath the thumb of exploitive capitalism, it's going to be, you know, if whatever we're doing to make ourselves feel good within exploitive capitalism is just serving the luxurious wealth of the very few and perpetuating the system of exploitation of the many and the earth. So it has, for me, it really has to be built in that, okay, I'm doing what I can to become well enough, not to just toe the line for the people that are having such, you know, that have this dominating, that are perpetuating this whole state of affairs, but well enough to contribute to changing these fundamental systems in our society so that we can all return to a life generative way of life.
That was deep. Because a lot of times we don't think about stuff like that in our everyday living. We just go and do different things, and we don't take time out to think about stuff like that. You touched a lot of places that make me think. Like, for example, with the trauma, if we don't get to the source of the trauma and try to heal from that, when this other stuff that's being piled on top of it, it's just, It keeps us from being able to move forward or to grow.
Exactly.
Well, that's how I look at it, as far as with the trauma. It makes it hard for us to grow. It makes it hard for us to be able to enjoy life because we have so much trauma built on top of trauma on top of trauma, and we're not healing from the first trauma that ever happened to us. So, excuse me, that took a lot. And then the womb, we as women, we do not, a lot of times we don't take good care of it. We really don't take good care of it. Yeah, we have not been taught how to take good care of it. And something that what you said made me think about, like, how they want to put, they're so quick to put you on birth control. And, like, birth control, even though I understand the purpose of birth control, but they don't tell you about the damage that it could do to you on the other side of it. You know what I mean? Like, certain birth controls can mess up your reproduction system and stop you from being able to have kids. different kind of things that happen. This is stuff that they are not.
And it's not just, we're not taught. It's not just your reproductive system. It's your overall health. They don't talk about how birth control pills make you more susceptible to breast cancer later on in life, and all kinds of other health problems that happen later on in life, migraine headaches and all kinds of other imbalances and you know people talk about fertility as the ultimate job of the womb, which it kind of is, but it's also built into your whole overall system of health and well-being. And we need to talk about women's health and well-being, womb bearers' health and well-being, and the womb as a vital sign that tells you important and detailed information about your health and well-being. So it's like your heart and your heart rate, right? And the blood pressure. These are vital signs that we're familiar with, right? Mm-hmm. So, say your heart rate and your blood pressure is telling you something's wrong with your heart. Do you just take a drug to stop it from beating?
They want you to, though. But no, that's not.
If they could get you to take a drug to stop you from, you know, if you could take a drug to stop your heart from beating, and still live, just like you can with the womb, then maybe they would do that. But it's not solving the underlying issue, which is something in your diet, something in your lifestyle is problematic. And luckily, you know, the heart, you can't stop it from beating with that and stay alive. So luckily, you know, you have to pay more attention to that, and more doctors, especially since, you know, so many men have heart issues. And you know, just mentioning that, just want to mention to clarify why I say that is because it wasn't until the 1990s that female subjects were even used in medical research for basic studies about, you know, basic for medical studies. They were deliberately excluded because it would change the results. Because having a womb, it's different. You have to understand the womb and how the whole endocrine system is different for womb bearers. So, but then all these drugs and procedures were developed based on male-only subjects and then prescribed to women, prescribed to womb bearers, even though they were deliberately excluded because it would be a different result. Up until the 1990s.
Right. That's crazy.
And then, you know, the whole, it's, if you want to really have your eyes open, I highly recommend looking up the history of the modern day gynecology and the person who's considered to be the father of Western gynecology right now. I won't get into it today, but it's pretty traumatizing. It's traumatizing. Mm. Okay. Especially for people of African descent.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. So a lot, and that's another topic to bring into about a lot of medical research and the whole exploitation of people of African descent in this country being at the foundation of a lot of modern day, of a lot of the medical procedures and drugs that we have available today are on the backs and bodies of people of African descent. And so that's what we're, you know, that whole approach is intrinsic to the systems that we have in place today. And our wombs are crying out and saying, this is not right. And on, not only on a physiological level, but on an emotional level and on a spiritual level. We need something different. And so getting the womb to shut up by tricking it into thinking it's pregnant with artificial hormones, that's what the birth control pill does. It gives an artificial hormone that tricks the womb into thinking it's pregnant.
Right.
Okay, is that the kind of healing you want? If you're crying out, something's wrong, something's wrong, something's wrong. Oh, here, let me lie to you and make you think everything's okay and direct your attention here. And really this other thing going on, and it's not really going on, and you're like, but I'm getting the feeling that this is going on, but it's not really going on. But I have to put all my energy in here because that's how I'm built. And you're putting your energy, the poor womb is putting its energy into something that's not really happening. So that sets up this foundation of confusion and deception inside the person's body, where it's totally unnecessary. Because we can learn about our fertility and know the exact days when we're in danger of becoming pregnant if we don't want to be pregnant. And we could learn about that and figure that out and just make choices about that, around that. And we can heal the imbalances in our lives. And that's what my work is about, is helping women to look at their lives and say, okay, let me eliminate these and these foods. And let me nourish my body more completely and replenish where it's depleted and get things moving where it's stagnant. And let me implement these self-care practices into my life, and let me start to reorganize my life so that I'm not just this, automaton in service of the exploiters, but instead I'm feeling a sense of soul purpose and participating in the replenishment of our species and our planet, which is what we all long for at a core cellular level, is to be involved in a healthy cycle of life.
Right. Wow.
Full
Miss Morningstar, you said a mouthful.
I know I should.
You did, and it's funny that you said that. I'm glad that you said all of that you said, because I don't like medication. I don't like taking pills. I've had to deal with high blood pressure, and as a result of dealing with high blood pressure, I've had to understand, okay, there's certain things you're not supposed to eat, there's certain activities you need to take, you need to partake in. And I told them, I don't want to be on pills. Like, they, oh, well, get a low dosage. No, I don't want it. And a lot of people are saying I'm crazy about it, but I'm like, for me, when you take one medication, it offsets something else, and then you got to take another medication. They prescribe you another pill to take for this, and then that messes with something else, and then you got to take another pill for this. I don't want to be a guinea pig. I refuse to be a person that is on all these medications. So I've had to learn how to rethink things, rethink how to eat, rethink how to, I go exercise, be active, certain foods, certain stuff you can't drink. Like, I've learned how to do that, and I've been able to maintain my blood pressure. I've been dealing with it, my blood pressure, for at least 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And I've learned how to deal with that. You know what I mean? So it's very important that people take in consideration of what their body is saying to them. And then the doctor gets paid to write you a prescription for a medicine. So if they can get you on a medication and get you out, that's all they really care about, some of them. So you have to be mindful of that kind of stuff and learn what your body is doing and figure it out. I'm all for essential oils and natural remedies. That's my thing.
Yeah.
I prefer
and,
that
you know,
way versus going to take a whole bunch of
medicine. Medical traditions have a much more long-standing tradition than our Western medical practice, that understand the systems of the body way better and have intact, long-term understandings of health and well-being that are intact, that go back thousands and thousands of years before our modern medical science was developed. And that is, those are Chinese medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So your local acupuncturist or Chinese medicine doctor. Ayurvedic medicine. So your local Ayurvedic doctor. You don't even have to get a local one now. Many of these practitioners are practicing online now, and they can give you recommendations for dietary changes, lifestyle changes, and give you herbal and dietary supplements to help with, you know, bringing things back into balance. And these, I talk to people all the time who have things going on with the womb. Mm-hmm. These are traditions that have an intact approach to listening to the symptoms of the womb as a vital sign about the overall health and well-being of the individual, and incorporating that into the assessment of what's going on for the individual, and addressing the imbalance of the womb as an important aspect of helping that individual regain health and well-being. Whereas most medical doctors, and even the gynecologist, you go and you tell them about this menstrual symptom or that menstrual symptom, and they don't have anything to offer you except the pill or a hysterectomy. Whereas these other approaches, these holistic healing approaches, say, let's look at what's going on in your life, what dietary changes you can make. Another tradition that's starting to evolve out of the modern medical tradition is naturopathic doctors, which is reclaiming the traditions of herbalism from the European lineages and, you know, international lineages of herbal medicine. They're no longer really very intact, because suppressing that wisdom and demolishing that wisdom was a central tactic to get exploitive capitalism going in European culture. So back in the times of the Romans, and the witch burnings in Europe, and then continued on in the United States, and, you know, colonialism, that it was all about thwarting and demolishing and annihilating any kind of indigenous culture that was in harmony with the local ecosystem, centered on dismantling feminine wisdom of herbalism and healing and medicine. That's why the witches were burned. Because when the women in the community are healthy and well, that community is strong and cannot be exploited. Mm-hmm. So that's why the women were targeted, to dismantle the community's connection with the land and connection to each other and healthy partnership relationships. Because there was resistance, let me tell you. People did not want land to be owned by the wealthy few so they could exploit everyone else. People held land in common, just like in indigenous cultures all around the world, the Native American and the African cultures, that land was not something any individual could own. It's something that everybody had a relationship with and was nourished by and nourished in return. But somebody got this idea somewhere saying, okay, we're going to say that we own this land and everybody's in servitude to us. And we're going to enslave our fellow human beings. And we're going to do that by dismantling any, you know, connection to intrinsic sources of power that they have. And we're going to do that by shaming menstruation. We're going to do that by dismantling women's power. We're going to do that by persecuting women and making them look like and feel like, you know, making them look like the devil. And associating them with evil. And it was all of that was in service to exploitive capitalism and colonialism. And slavery all around the world. And I just trace it all the way back to, you know, in order to be able to do that, they had to dismantle that connection between women and the earth. Because it's such a power. When we connect to our own inner power through the womb, and we connect to the ecology and the wisdom of the earth through the womb, It's powerful. And it's undeniable. And I want to warn listeners that just listening to this conversation may open your eyes to things and may start, you know, some changes and some connections for you that can be very powerful and transformative without you needing to be coerced, without you needing to coerce anybody else. Because when we connect with our inner power, we're not as coercible anymore. We don't put up with it.
Wow. That was deep. Opened up my eyes. It really opened up my eyes. I'm going to be researching and trying to learn some more, because that opened up my eyes a lot. Really.
Well, you're welcome. I really appreciate being able to come on here and share with you. And I'll just mention, because probably time for us to wrap up here, I'll be going. And I just want to mention that if folks want to learn more about my work, I have a book coming out. It's called Herbal Womb Wellness. And it's available for pre-order on Indiegogo right now. So you can go to Indiegogo.com and look for Herbal Womb Wellness Workbook. And it's a workbook. So it's not just a book that you read and kind of contemplate. It's a book that you read and then the next page is a journal page where you write down how you feel about what you read. And then the next page is a planning page where you tick off the checklist and say, okay, this and this and this is going on for me. I need to take this and this and this action. And then the next page, you know, then in the back of the book, there's a whole like diary planning pages for 3 months of like, okay, I'm going to do this on that day and I'm going to do that on this day to get things going. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ms. Morningstar. I greatly appreciate that. If you could leave us with one message you gave us a message. You gave us a message. But if you could leave something, anything that you want to say.
Yeah,
to
I'll just
the
invite
audience.
Everyone to take three anything. Deep breaths right now and place your hands on your belly with your fingertips down at your pubic bone and your thumbs at your navel. Just letting yourself relax with each exhale. And as you relax into that connection with your belly, just open to the possibility that there's a source of wisdom there. That there's a source of inner knowing that you could start to listen to and let guide you.
Really beautiful. All right, Miss Morningstar, I'm gonna go ahead and end this one, but I will definitely love to have you back one day if you want to. You're always welcome to come through and share some wisdom. You dropped a nugget on us today, and that was very powerful. I hope that this podcast helps someone out. Also, you can reach out to Ms. Morningstar and make sure you order her book. It's for pre-order. And again, thank you. And I hope that you have a wonderful Thursday. And keep pushing.
All right, thank you.
Keep giving us this
wisdom. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.